Welcome to the Travel Advice Show. We give travel advice all around the world, and you can ask us a travel question anytime, and you can email us at show@traveladviceshow.com or leave a voice message at 801-542-9330 or Skype us. And today is Monday, November 19th, and I'm Chris Newton, one of the co-hosts, and my other co-host, Jerry Fuller. How you doing, Jerry?
Fantastic. I'm really excited about this show. I can't believe it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Would you like to introduce our great guest and the show's topic?
I would.
Yeah.
We're thrilled and excited again to have Lynette Wilson be back with us. She's with Destination World, and she did our Australia show a long time ago, and then she did our Fiji and South Pacific show
back in
June or May a long time ago.
Yeah.
And we're thrilled to have her back today because we're going to talk about Australia adventure trips and tours and things you can do to really make your Australia trip more adventurous and very different. Welcome, Lynette. How are you doing?
Oh, great. Thank you. Thank you both for having me back on the show. I had fun last time, and I'm sure this one's going to be equally as exciting.
Well,
tell us about some of the wonderful things that we can do for adventure in Australia, because I know that you have a tour that you offer. If people want to just do back-to-back adventure, you want to tell us a little bit about that tour, what it is, et cetera, and then we'll go into the adventurous things?
Well, I put a 10-day one together, and it's really just concentrating on exciting things to do around Sydney and also in Cairns, because you don't have to be changing hotels every single night to have a jam-packed trip. And obviously people can extend beyond that. But I've taken the absolute highlights out of somebody who is always saying, what are we going to do now? What are we going to do now? And if this doesn't kill him, I don't know what will. It's just a jam-packed. So you can't take your granny on this one, unless she's very hyper. But there's different types of things. For example, when people go into Sydney, some of the most, shall we say, commercialized or run-of-the-mill trips would be a Sydney Harbour cruise. It's a beautiful harbour, and people grab their little cups of coffee on their big boats and go around and, you know, putz around for about a couple of hours or 3 hours and enjoy the beautiful views. Well, for the types of people that would be attracted to the adventure tour, what we did instead was go on an Ocean Extreme, which is a company that started about 5 years ago, and instead of going very, very slowly on the harbour, we're going about 60 miles an hour in a special forces vessel that used to be for the military or the police, for the chases, etc. But this chap about 5 years ago, I think his name was Tyron Calvert, he was a naval specialist or in the special forces, and he got an unrestricted speed permit. So that allows this Ocean Extreme to be the fastest commercial operated vessel on Sydney Harbour. So the other thing too with the drivers, because there's only a few people that go on it at any one time, and it's about 40 minutes around the harbour, but they're actually aiming so that if there's any waves, they're going straight for it, so that these boats end up to be airborne half the time as you're going through. It's a big adrenaline rush, and people love it. They'll spin around doing 90 or 180 degree turns when they're going 80 kilometres or what's that, 60 miles an hour. It's absolutely awesome.
Yeah.
So it's a bit different from the run of the mill. And that's kind of like what we did all the way through. We looked at what's a popular tour, and we thought, how can we rev it up? So we were doing that. What other types of things? Maybe on the same day after they've done that spinning around the harbour, if they still want to complete the day with something else, they might want to do a Sydney Harbour Bridge climb. And I like twilight. It's a good time to go up there because it's just that the colour changes over the city. And when you're on that bridge, it goes, I think the climb's about 3.5 hours. And again, it's small groups, about 12 climbers. And they do a breathalyzer test first, just in case you sampled the wine too early. And that'll take you over, you know, ladders and catwalks and arches.
Oh.
And I think the summit is 440 feet right up the top. So the views are absolutely breathtaking.
Oh, great.
And that's, you know, that's good. So like I said, it's in 12 small groups. I'm trying to steer away from the 60-seater kind of things because a lot of people don't like that and they want more flexibility, which is often available on smaller groups. And that, you know, that type of stuff can be done just on your first day of getting there. and adventure people, there's still things to do on your own. It's not restricted where you feel like you've got shackles on and the whole time that you're in the cities. But we try and give you a bit of an introduction in a different twist from the norm.
Mm-hmm.
We're not just concentrating on the actual city itself. We can take you out into the countryside. And again, what a lot of people like to do is go out to the Blue Mountains. And I think, Jerry, you've been out to the Blue Mountains, haven't you?
Oh, yes, numerous times. They're absolutely fabulous.
And that's like Australia's Grand Canyon, and the it looks blue because that's the haze from the eucalyptus leaves that's coming back from the distance. The whole picture looks like a pale blue. It's quite different. But what we've done here going out to the Blue Mountains, it's not just a trip going out, having a look, which is stunning, and coming back again. We try and incorporate different things while we're out there. You ride on the world's steepest railway line. It's the zigzag. And that's like the gradient is very, very sharp. It's absolutely incredible. And they've got cableways, and it's just the view. It reminds you of a James Bond movie, which is another story. And then we'll incorporate a wine tasting trip on the way back. There's also a visit to the Featherdale Wildlife Park. So you get to sort of get up close and personal with the kangaroos and wallabies and emus and all that type of thing. But this is all done in one day, so you don't have to do three separate days of touring. We just cram it in together. But we also try and do it in such a way that we're not running into busloads of people coming and going all the time. So, again...
Because the Blue Mountains are very... I don't want to use the word touristy, but lots of people do go there. Even Australians go there. So it's just not an international tourist destination. So this is a brilliant way of doing it. So you don't have to go with 45 other people on the bus.
Yeah, and it's just different things. Like a lot of people will spend a couple hours at a restaurant, in the middle of the tour. Well, I would sooner have lunch at the best scenery points, which would be right by the Three Sisters, rather than in the restaurant, further down down the other part of the mountain type of area. And again, we're trying to time it so that where the groups are, we're not.
Lynette, how far are the Blue Mountains away from Sydney there? Are they pretty far?
About 2.5 hour drive.
Oh, really? Oh, that's great. Wow, you can get right out there pretty in 2.5 hours right from the city center.
Well,
okay.
Well, the other thing, too, is by the time you're coming back, it's getting the later part of the day.
Oh.
And so a twist on the normal getting stuck in the Sydney gridlock is we come most of the way back, and then by the Parramatta River, we'll jump on the River Cat and we'll come back on that instead. So you're getting a little where the Parramatta River goes into the Sydney Harbour.
Oh,
so
nice.
It'll drop you off at Circular Quay. You get off and you can walk back to your hotel.
Oh, geez.
Right. What a brilliant idea. So they come back by catamaran. So how long is the catamaran trip part of it?
Probably about an hour.
Oh,
wow.
That's brilliant.
So that's not too bad.
Brilliant.
And, of course, you get to see a slower version because it's like it's a river cat going into the harbour because you've already gone a gazillion miles an hour on the ocean extreme, and if you missed anything, you should think you missed on that. You catch it on the way back. And, of course, photo ops, too, because at that time of the day, you'll be going underneath the bridge that you climbed earlier type of thing, so there's all these different photographic opportunities all over the place.
Oh,
you know, it's a fun thing. And then going into that wildlife park, some people are a bit like, oh, what are we going into a park for? Because you will out in the Blue Mountains or on the way back possibly see kangaroos jumping all over the place, but you won't be able to get necessarily that close to them because they're in the wild. And so by going into the park, you get right up to have your pictures taken, and also they've got the injured animals that they're taking care of. They've got like a little animal hospital in there as well.
So it
just explains a lot more about it. This Featherdale Wildlife Park is very, very good, and they've got some endangered species there, etc. So you get to learn a lot more than you would if you just, spot one really jumping around in the paddock.
Or even if you went to the Sydney Zoo, this is much closer up and much better than just the Sydney Zoo, isn't it?
Well, yeah, I'm not knocking Sydney Zoo, but I mean, in the middle
but
of it. It's got a lot of going for it,
but...
Yeah, this is the real Australia.
Yeah, the real thing.
In fact, as far as zoos are concerned, on this particular one, I do have a zoo visit, but it's in Cairns, and the twist I wanted to do on that was make it a night zoo.
And
so when people get into Cairns at 7 o'clock at night, And that's when they go to this night zoo and they have an Aussie barbecue. They go and see the nocturnal animals. And, you know, depending if it's a clear night, there'll be an astrologer there to explain the Southern Cross, which is a whole different ball game again. Then they'll go and see, you know, crocodiles, et cetera, which you may not have come across so far, because if we haven't, you know, got you with one critter, we'll get you with another. And then there'll be, you know, an Aussie bush dance, you know, and you can join in with that. So it's like a whole evening function. But even when you're walking around, there'll still be probably 10 or 15 kangaroos jumping around, coming right up to you because they're used to human interaction. And so it'll just be like you're sitting next to someone on your right and a kangaroo on your left. It's quite interesting while you're having a barbecue.
I tell you. Well, you know, there's one of the tours that you mentioned on your tour on the website that I thought was phenomenal. I have not done this, and it's about the shark feed dives.
Oh, right, yeah. Right.
You want to talk about that? Because that sounds absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, well, there's a couple of, you know, shark dive experiences in Australia, and because I didn't want people necessarily flying all over, you know, and wasting time getting from one side of the country to another if they're trying to cram in as much as they can in a short window, is actually the Ocean World located at Manly. And so you can jump on from your hotel, because the hotel that I'm picking up for them is Key West, which is right by Sydney Harbour. You walk on the ferry to Manly. Beg your pardon?
The Key West is a magnificent hotel.
Yep. Well, it's an apartment hotel. So you've got your washer and dryer, which is handy if you're there for a few days. But it's a full service. It's got the restaurant, room service, etc. But the location, you're right by Sydney Harbour, which is awesome, and the views are just incredible. And I've based this on a harbour view room on my tour. But the actual shark feed you're talking about is you jump in the, you know, make your own way to Manly, which is a ferry, and that's, you know, the same as catching a bus in anywhere else. Get across, you walk to the Oceanarium, and then in the shark dive is you're standing in an open cage, and the employers, or the aquarists, I think they're called, they hand feed the various sharks, but you have to do kind of like a mini scuba dive lesson first. You're given a tutorial, so you don't have to be a certified diver to go. They give you a training course first, and that doesn't mean you can go dive in Great Barrier Reef afterwards, but this is purely because it's in a shallow tank. And it's just awesome. I think you'd probably find it goes for about 40 minutes, but this tank isn't just a little fishbowl tank. It's 5 million litre Oceanarium tank. It's huge, absolutely massive. You'll see the stingrays and the giant turtles, and these are all swimming around while they're doing this shark feed. Now, if you don't want to be in the cage and have the sharks coming so up close and personal with you, you don't have to. You can watch other people, because they only allow to maximum of two, shall we say, tourists in at a time. So it's not you've got a whole busload of people jumping in with their scuba tanks on. But the whole trip from beginning to end, or that excursion, is about 3 hours, 3.5 hours by the time you go through the initial mini scuba training to the, you know, explanation about it, to the experience itself. When your friends that are watching, you can be taking pictures, or they'll take pictures for you, because that's something that you want to bring home to say, look at my new friends and I survived Australia. Now, if the sharks don't get you, they've still got some of the deadliest reptiles at this Oceanarium too, so we can throw you. No, we won't throw you. Point them out to you yourself. You just need to arrive with your swimmers on, your bathers or whatever you call it, and a towel, and off you go, and it's a hoot. It really is an experience of a lifetime for people that want that adrenaline rush.
Well, there's another tour that you have on that program, which I have done sort of, not really sort of. I mean, everyone goes to Sydney, seems like we always take the Sydney Opera House tour, and we go in and have the normal tour, but you offer something that's quite different.
The standard ones are still informative, but it's with the masses. It's usually about 5 o'clock in the afternoon before they have a dinner and then a performance that evening. Which, you know, again, it's still
it's good
side. But what I like to suggest to people is, if they don't mind getting up early in the morning, about 7 a.m. it's a backstage tour of the Opera House. And so they've only, you know, in the last few years opened it up where you have about 10 or 12 people go around early in the morning, and they have a private behind-the-scenes tour. So they'll sit in the orchestra pit. They'll see the, you know, what's going, basically what's going on behind the scenes. They can, you know, be pretending that there's some famous opera singer or conducting a, you know, symphony orchestra or something like that. And then they'll go through the stars' dressing rooms, and the end of the tour, they'll end up in the green room and have a light breakfast before going, you know, going on to do other things. They should be out of there by about 10 o'clock in the morning.
Wow.
So that's an interesting behind-the-scenes thing. A lot of people that have gone through it that I know of have been very fortunate to catch a rehearsal going on, and it depends on, I can't guarantee that, of course, because it depends on the production company doing it. Some of them don't mind people sticking their head in during a rehearsal, and others don't want it. But for the ones that have experienced, they've loved it because that same evening they've got tickets for the performance, and they've actually seen perhaps some of the blunders, you know, boo-boos that were made during rehearsal. It's kind of like having a lunch. But it's a good thing to see, and that's you know, most mornings it's not, the Opera House is not doing it on Sundays, but yeah, we've never had anybody not be thoroughly enjoyed, except for the ones that like to sleep in a bit in the mornings because they don't really like getting dragged out at 7 o'clock. But it's any time we can do it.
Well, now, we discussed a lot of the trips and possibilities in Sydney, and we did mention the Cairns Zoo, but there are so many other things as we look through your tour that you're offering. And up in the Cairns area, do you want to go through some of the one that, I mean, all of them are fabulous, but one that intrigued me, because a lot of people love to scuba dive or snorkel on the Great Barrier Reef, and or take like the 3 or 4 day cruise between Cairns and Townsville, for example, or that type of thing. But you've got an option here that is wonderful. You want to tell us about the Silver Sonic?
Oh, right. Yes, I'll be happy to. There's different types of vessels going out to the Outer Barrier Reef. And one company has more than one vessel, and most people that are familiar perhaps with the Quicksilver. Now, they for their regular Quicksilver one, that has about 450 people on it going out, floating platforms, glass bottom boats, et cetera, et cetera. But what I've done for the people that are going on this particular trip is that they're going out on a smaller vessel called the Silver Sonic, and that has about 80 people. It can hold 130, but it's only for 80 people, and it goes out to three different locations, and it's more... more staff per ratio looking after you, so you feel like you're a VIP going out. If you're a scuba diver, you can go and do some, you know, diving at these three different locations. Otherwise, you can be snorkeling, and the areas are just awesome. The vessel is a beautiful boat that takes you out there, and it's very, very comfortable. It's not that old, actually, and it's a thoroughly enjoyable afternoon because you're not having to share your day with 450 people.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So
I really enjoy it a lot. There's a lot of choices, and it's very hard to figure out, you know, which decision to make over the various days. But we try on the trip that we've designed, we've tried to sort of have a calm day of the you know, diving or snorkeling in the Great Barrier Reef, and then another day you might find that you're at high altitude jumping out of an airplane on a tandem skydive.
Yes,
or
would you tell us about that day? I mean, that day is phenomenal.
Well, yeah, you can't be a baby on that one.
It's fabulous, I tell you.
So double whammy in one day, because we figured if the bungee jump didn't get you, the tandem skydive would.
It would change your life forever that day, I think.
You have to sort of sign a disclaimer, and I think you will before you do it.
You're a new person, yeah.
But it's a beautiful location, and where the bungee jump is out of Cairns. It's about, I don't know, 15 kilometres north of Cairns. Yeah. And it's this World Heritage Rainforest area. It's like 100 acres of it. And right in this, they built this 50-metre tower. And just even before you jump off, you know, you ooh and ah at this magnificent view. And it's very safe, and it's just, you know, something that everybody wants to do, or at least they want to do it. I don't know when they get on the end, just before the jump, they might change their mind in the middle of a hurry. And, you know, have the photographs taken and show, look what I did in Australia. But if that only sort of half got the heart beating, then we follow it up with a tandem skydive. And that's at 10,000 feet. So they, they actually put you next to an experienced diver. They don't put two tourists together and throw them out the plane. I don't think that's a good idea. And so that you'll be temporarily a member of the Australian Parachute Federation for at least the time if you jump.
Oh,
and again, you'll get some awesome views, and they'll take a picture as you're going down. Now, some people might be a bit nervous about doing this bungee jump and tandem skydive on that day because it's just too over the top for them. So what we can do is substitute that with something calmer, like a four-wheel drive Cape Tribulation, Daintree, Raintree, Rainforest type of excursion, which is still great, but it's just not as up in the air as the two.
Well, I know on the. Oh, it sounds magnificent. I know also you have everybody wants to go to the Outback, but you offer a unique Outback experience on this program. You want to tell us about that one? Because it really is different.
Well, it's a place, it's about, again, a couple of hours out of Cairns, and it's called, where you'll find the Undara Lava Tubes.
Mm-hmm.
And Undara is an Aboriginal word, it means a long way. And that doesn't mean it's a long way out of Cairns. It's just that these lava tubes were formed, 200,000 years ago, 190,000 years ago, when there was this volcano erupted. And all the molten lava was flowing down the dry riverbed. And then as the outer layer cooled, the inside was still hot and formed all these lava tubes.
Mm-hmm.
And there's one tube there that's, I think it's the longest in the world of 100 miles long. It's absolutely
really?
Great area. So we go out to this area, and there's all different types of accommodation, but what we've done for people on this overnight trip going out is they'll sleep in a restored railway carriage. Now, it's not like you go out on a train out there. These are just, they must have put them on the back of a semi-trailer and popped the train railway carriage out there, and I thought that would be a cool way rather than a tent to sleep in. Savannah guides that will explain again the caves because it's a couple hour tours on the next day. But they have the first day you get in there, they have got a wildlife sunset tour, and there's walking past. You can go off and do your own thing, but if you want to have someone that knows what they're doing show you around, again you'll see some local animals of the wallabies and kangaroos, and they'll take you into this cave and see thousands of bats flying around, etc. So it's not just a matter of looking at a few caves and coming lava tubes and coming back again. There's the whole outback feeling. They'll have a bit of a, open campfire and talk about different stories and some Aboriginal, dream time, mythology kind of things as well.
Mm-hmm.
And it's quite nice to mix in. You find quite a few locals are going out there as well, so you get to hear some more people talking funny like me. It's a good trip, and you get the next afternoon after having a good day out. And then I thought, well, you've rested enough, going out there stuff, but I'd wind up with a whitewater rafting experience on the Sunny River.
Oh, that's great.
What a way to end your trip. Now, tell us about that, because I whitewater kayak. Do they allow you to kayak along with them?
No.
Okay.
No, because they've got their own, not on this particular one now. It could be maybe under special arrangements. I haven't really been asked that before. They might make a special arrangement just for you, Gerald. But they've got their trained guides, rescue guides for the various rafts that are going down, and it's 5 hours of whitewater rafting. And,
wow.
5 hours. Oh, that's a lot of time.
So it's a full day, barbecue, lunch, and all sorts of, things like that that are put in there for it. But that's why they've got it down pat right now of how to organize it and get it going. And I think the kayaking possibly could be arranged for you, Jerry. Like I said, I would have to ask. But this one is more of the inflatable rafts, and it's
probably the normal whitewater rafts
and all that for them that they have to get.
Uh-huh. It's still fabulous. What category it is by any chance? Is it cat 2, 3, 4? Do you know what category rapids the Truckee River has?
It can vary.
I guess it depends on the time of year, yeah.
Depends on the type of year, but it's, I think it's stretching. When I've seen it for a 5, I'd say it's more of a 4.
Okay.
A 4, wow.
5 to be a stretch.
Okay. So it would be a great run then. A 4 is a good run.
Yeah. If someone, again, there might be some people that go, I really like it, but I don't want something quite so a full day. I want a shorter version and not quite as advanced. There's the Barron River that we could take them off to as well, but that's more for your grandmother. They do competitions on the Tully River.
Mm-hmm.
So again, it depends on the time of the year that you're going, but you can get some pretty rides.
My word, what a fabulous trip.
Yeah, that does. It sounds
10 days of it, and then people can still extend and go to other parts of Australia. Or what I've suggested is they might want to shoot over and spend a week in Fiji on the way back, learning how to kite surf, and that's another story.
Oh, nice!
I know. Well, I know that trip. Can you tell us what that trip would cost if somebody wanted to take exactly what we were talking about on this and the 10 day?
The 10-day one with the accommodation and all the sightseeing tours that I've mentioned, there's a few meals, not all the meals put in there, but quite a few. You're looking at $47.50, I think, on the current exchange rate, et cetera. That's per person. You still have to add your airfare, but a lot of people have got frequent flyer, et cetera.
Okay.
We could help them with it, but just find out what they want, and if they want any other countries incorporated, New Zealand or Fiji, Tahiti, whatever, so that we can put it together for them. Again, they might say, I've only got a week and I like, half a dozen components of what you have there and custom it. But what we did was put down what we think the majority of the adventure seekers would be looking for. Because I got quite a few inquiries on the James Bond tour that I did.
Do you want to tell us about that James Bond tour? Because that is so different.
That one was...
And that's adventure tour too.
Like if someone wins the lottery, or it's one of those people that, or someone accurately described it. They said it should be on every doctor's prescription pad for a midlife crisis.
Nice.
1 week, but it was a price now object with the Rolls Royce transfers and the private helicopters flying in the Warbird, aircraft. Old fighter planes, etc. You're looking at $25,000 a head for that, and that was a week just in the area. But there was certain things that were thrown in that we can't even go into a detailed itinerary on that one. There's a whole team of people working behind. So for each couple that's in the country, there's probably about four shadows making sure that it just goes like clockwork. It's almost like a movie production because that person is all like Bond when he's down there.
Oh, that sounds great.
That's on the website too for people that want to dream. So people looked at the Bond itinerary and said, I love it, but there's no way in hell I can afford it, but I like some of the components. So what I did was modify it right down, took all the trimmings out. Like, for example, that fast boat is worth about 12 people, or the one for Bond would just be him and his significant other, the Bond lady.
Oh, right.
Going private. So a lot of the things were in it. Similar things, but more exclusive for them. They just, on a day that they went out to play golf, well, it was helicopter golf. It wasn't just a regular golf day. It's one of those, if you had to dream, fantasize about the most incredible experience, have a look at the destinationworld.com website for the James Bond one. And if you're in your office, you might have to turn the sound down or off because it will start booming out the theme music for James Bond, and your boss might not appreciate it. it's just wild stuff, but that's what you like to do because Australia's got so much to offer and a bit of everything.
That's great.
I know we had some clients through Travel Advice that you your staff booked a fabulous tour about, I guess, 18 months ago, something like that, where they even had chartered helicopters to fly over southern Tasmania and go into the land in the a river there that people never, ever, ever go to. There are no roads. And they had the most fabulous trip of a lifetime. That was just one of the things they did.
Because some people think because they don't see an itinerary or a tour published that it can't be done. And so we just keep asking. And, not all the time do the things we dream up when we ask suppliers or helicopter companies or when we get asked for permissions or permits to land or do certain things. A few of the times they come back and say, are you crazy? No, we can't. And it could be legitimate reasons of liability or whatever. We don't really want to kill clients. We do like the repeat client factor. The Australia trip, if jumping out of a plane doesn't get you, or the sharks or the crocodiles or the poison snakes, we'll figure out something like that. Survival course. It's kind of like air us, you know, if somebody dreams of something or they've read it and they don't know if it's possible to do it in Australia or New Zealand or any of the countries that we do, just, you know, hit us with the fantasy and we'll see if we can make it happen or as close as possible to it.
Right.
All sorts of weird things that you can do. And even we love doing the group things, but in Victoria, it's in the old jail. You know, you can overnight in the jail or go on a ghost tour, you know.
Really?
Yeah, just wickedly crazy things that you can come up with, you know. So we like to try and surprise people too. We often have the husbands and wives, and the husband wants to surprise the wife with a, I don't know, wedding anniversary present. So we've taken him into a place with a private viewing of some really good quality Australian opals, or had them go out to the hotel and then get an opal pendant or ring for it, the anniversary present as a memento of Australia. There's all sorts of, just different twists that we like to do to make the person feel like they're special and they're VIPs.
That's
great.
Well, Lynette, you, again, we're ecstatic about having you.
Yes.
And I hope everyone that is listening understands that you can book the adventure and the exciting, fabulous things that we're talking about, but you can also book the normal and do the normal thing that people want to do. The nice thing about your staff that I really do like is they will suggest options also. In other words, if they're doing Melbourne, for example, and you'll say, well, how about the jail? I say, oh, never thought of it, rather than the normal hotel they might have stayed in. And
It's just kind of like some people will say, well, here's a black and white version, can you color it in? And that's, we just like to color in.
Right.
We like to the crayons and we're set. So that's what we like to do to the itinerary, and hopefully everybody is thrilled with the result.
Well, we will have you listed on the website so they can just click right there and link to your site.
Yes.
And again, Lynette, we thank you immensely for being here with us again. And we look forward to having you on the show again very soon.
Thank you for inviting me. It's been fun, boys.
Yeah, thank you, Lynette. Yeah, that was great. And looking forward to again. Yeah, we'll do another show soon. Yeah.
Good deal. Okay, take care. Thanks, Chet.
Thank you.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye-bye.